Welcome to Tuning In. I'm Terry.
And I'm Kenzie.
We're back here right before the holiday season, a couple days before Christmas Day, actually, and ready to roll. How you doing?
Yeah, I am doing good. I am ready. It's Friday after work before quote-unquote Christmas break, and I'm excited to just, get into the Christmas spirit.
And our listeners, even if you're listening after Christmas, so we'll try to bring that cheer to you, even if it's January or February or wherever you may be at this point. So
the gift that keeps on giving.
So what have you been listening to in the musical world? What's been driving you lately?
That's a good question. I mean, I hate to be like, of course, it's just always Taylor Swift, but this is popular too now, but I don't know how to say his last name, but Noah Kahan. I don't know. I might be overpronouncing
it. I don't know how you spell it.
It's K-A-H-A-N.
Kahn, probably.
Probably Kahn. Really like him. I think you would like him too. And he's a newer artist and just has one album out, but just really like easy to listen to music. Good sound, kind of like indie-ish, at least like the sound of it, but not, I don't know, it's not super poppy or anything. And so I've really been enjoying him. And then, let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it, to be honest. I'm just, haven't really dove into too many other artists or anything. I've just been listening to a lot of podcasts and things like that.
Well, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I'll have to dial that one up and try, see what that sounds like.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff out. I had Ann Wilson of Heart has a solo album that's fantastic. It's amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, her new, it's fantastic. She teamed up with a band called Trip Sitter, which are, I'm not sure too much about, but they were a pretty hard-edged band, like almost... Mm-hmm. Lead singer screamer type stuff. They're incredible musicians, and the combination is fantastic, and they can kind of vary their musical style to whatever, and so they've teamed up, and it's a fabulous album. I mean, I've wore that out. Well, if it was a record, I would have worn it out. I've streamed it so many times, it's just fantastic. And so I played that over and over and over again quite a bit, and otherwise just diving back into some other stuff. Joe Satriani, and for a couple of weeks here, some contemporary Christmas music, always looking for new artists who got something new or that type of thing. But just kind of diving back into some older stuff, I think, just here and there, but
nice,
nothing brand new in the last month or so, I don't think.
Yeah, I realized I actually have been listening. This sounds dumb to be like, whoa, but I've actually been listening to the radio a lot. So, I mean, not that that's like a crazy concept, but like I usually just turn on my own music and everything or a podcast, and I've just been listening to the country radio pretty much on a lot of car rides and stuff if I don't feel like finding something else to listen to.
Yeah, I did the same thing. My connection didn't work on my phone for some reason one day and a couple times. And so I've listened to some FM radio a little bit. It's kind of fun. That's always my, if I had another life, I think I would attempt to be a DJ, at least try. I would love to do that, like at midnight, and just play deep cuts. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be fun, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's always been a wish.
There's still time.
Yeah, there is. That's true. Well, let's dive in. And you picked an interesting topic because there's a little bit of newsworthiness lately about it that you may have picked up on. And Hall & Oates. So why don't you go ahead and take it away and tell us what you learned.
Yeah, so I will start off by saying I really enjoyed this one.
Awesome.
And I just didn't realize how many songs I knew already from Hall & Oates. And so I was pleasantly surprised to be like, oh, yeah, I I've like listened to this stuff already. And so I really enjoyed that. And I think a lot of the stuff, like with their background and everything, I think the way they met is very interesting. Do you know that story?
I do not.
Okay. I think that's one of the most interesting parts, because honestly, their like history as a band, I would say, is pretty standard. There wasn't a ton of drama up until more recently, which I might need your help explaining a little bit. But yeah, so I'll kind of start from the beginning. But they formed in Philadelphia in 1970. And so there's been band members that have come and gone, and I think they're probably notable, but I did not really make note of them just because they did come and go a little bit. But the main two through and through, Hall and Oates. So Daryl Hall, John Oates. Daryl is the lead vocalist, and then John is the guitarist slash background vocals. And so their music style is kind of rock and roll, soul, rhythm and blues. I think they stayed true to that for the most part throughout all of their music history. I would say a lot of the research I did, it was like they kind of hit some dead ends when it came to like disco music. And when some of that stuff really became popular, they tried to get into it. And I can explain all this later, but you know, through and through, they've really been that kind of like rock and roll, rhythm and blues. So their band name is actually, a lot of people refer to them as Hall & Oates. It is not Hall & Oates. It's just Daryl Hall and John Oates. And they were pretty adamant about not having it be Hall & Oates. And I don't know why, but I didn't see the reason why they didn't want it to be just Hall & Oates. But everybody calls it that anyways. Yeah, but right. And I was confused because when I went on Spotify to look it up, I realized that like the playlist I was listening to and like the artist was Daryl Hall and John Oates. And so I was like, is there a separate Hall and Oates? Like, is this like a newer, I don't know. So I knew I was listening to the right people, but I just was a little confused. So anyway, that is kind of their band name. I mean, easily, there's really no description as to why they chose that, because it's their names. And they have pretty much stayed in the top billboards, like top 100 artists of all time. They're 18th. And in the top 100 groups or duos, they're 6th. So really, really still up there even to this day, considering they started almost like 60 years ago, like 50 plus. So how they met, which I just love the story, or just kind of crazy, I guess. So they were both in separate bands. I don't know how old they were at the time. I think they were in college. And so they were at a band competition, and both separate bands, you know, competing against one another. So they're all hanging out with their own bands. I think this is just during like some downtime. And I don't know how this happened, but there was like gang members there, and two rival gangs pulled gunfire on each other at this band competition. And so Hall & Oates went to go escape from the gunfire, and they both ended up in the same elevator to get out. And from there, they discovered that they went to the same school. They had the same music interest, and basically ever since that elevator, they lived together in multiple different apartments. They lived together in like New York or Los Angeles. And 2 years later, they formed Hall & Oates. So,
wow, I have not heard that.
Yeah. I was just like, not like a great situation to be in to meet somebody, but like so random. So I thought that that was interesting. So yeah, so it took them about 2 years to form a band. So around 1972 is when they signed their record label and released their debut album, which really wasn't much of a hit. They had the song She's Gone on their debut album, which is like, you know, one of their big ones, but it was actually covered by someone else, like Lou Rawls and the Tavares. I don't know. But that version of the song hit number one on the R&B charts in 1974. but their version did not. And so
I didn't know that. I remember who Lou Rawls was, but I didn't even know he did that.
Wow. Yeah, it was really interesting. So at first I thought it like maybe gave popularity to the Hall and Oates version, but no, they did not get necessarily the main credit there. So basically they switched to a new record company around 1975 and they released a self-titled album, which I know you love. And that one was super successful. So they, it's actually kind of a funny album cover. And I guess, I can't remember which one on the album cover, but one of them was kind of like looking a little girlish. And he was like, I look like the girl I've always wanted to go out with.
Oh, I think it was Daryl Hall. Cover. I've seen that album cover. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They got it all airbrushed and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just kind of funny. So if anyone's curious as to what his type is, it's whatever he looks like on the front of that cover. And then from there, the song Sarah Smile became their top 10 hit. I know it was based off of Sarah something. One of them was dating and she was mentioned a lot throughout their history, but like it didn't seem like anything was super notable about her presence, just that she was there. I could be wrong. But one of them was dating Sarah, and so that became their first top 10 hit. And later they re-released She's Gone, and then that didn't hit number one, but it hit number 7 in the charts.
Yeah, I remember those songs when I don't know, when I was in middle school, elementary, I don't remember, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I remember I used to strawberry pick in the summer, and we'd listen, we'd go travel on this old school bus, just crammed in 3 to a seat and people in the aisles, you know, all the kids and stuff. And they used to play this AM radio station in Portland with all the hits, you know, and that would be on the bus, and the bus driver would have that cranked up. And that, probably one of the more notable songs were the Hall & Oates songs, Sarah Smile and She's Gone. Also Rich Girl, was another one that was real big. And you know, those were just the big hits at the time. So they're constantly.
Yeah.
That just reminds me of strawberry picking. Anyway, go ahead.
That's funny. Well, yeah. So that is kind of a little bit about just like their first album and where they got started.
So after the first album, then they kind of struggled to, okay, well, this is where the disco portion of it came in, because they were in the like late 70s, they were trying to find success in the rock world with disco, and they were just continuing to get bogged down by it. So they tried, it didn't work out too well. I think they tried to get some disco sounds in there. And then they ended up just realizing that they wanted to go to New York. I think they were in LA at the time, and they went to New York, they went to Electric Lady Studios. And that was their first album where they produced their own music, at least in this studio. And that was the album with like Voices and Kiss on My List and You Make My Dreams were recorded. And so kind of, I mean, they're all big successes, but basically as the You Make My Dreams was starting to fall off, then they had released Private Eyes and that whole album. So it was like, just when they were starting to like lose momentum, they picked it right back up. And yeah, it turned out to be one of the greatest albums of the 80s and reached the top 10 out of 200. H2O was their most successful album, because I mean, there are lots of reasons, but Maneater was on it. It reached number one. And so, I mean, just a classic. And then after that, they released their cover of Jingle Bell Rock. I had to make note of that because
yeah, it's
the season. And I mean, a great song. And so, I mean, those are all just like, they had a lot of success during like the 70s and the 80s with their music. It was all hitting like top charts. And then they, I always have to make note when people start using the synth, because I've noticed that with every band you give me is like the era where they discovered the synth. And so they started recording again in 1984, just like took a little break, but they used the synclavier, I don't know, Synclavier 2, which was one of the most sophisticated equipment ever used in recording industry at that time. So big synth stuff going on there. I don't know. But they released the song Out of Touch from that album. That is one of my favorites that I discovered from the songs I didn't know. I really like that song. And then, I think they changed record companies again. And then there was a kind of a weird point. I think this is when Hall started doing like Daryl's House, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was later than the 80s, though.
No, sorry. We're jumping.
Okay.
I did not mention the year, but we jumped to 2007.
Okay. All right.
And so in 2007, there's like Canadian electro funk band named Chromeo made a statement that like Hall & Oates had asked them to collaborate on their next record. And it ended up getting released as like a Live from Daryl's. And so I meant to go look at that, but I don't know. It kind of made it seem like that was where it kind of started. Or maybe it just, that was an exciting collaboration, but Live from Daryl's House was basically a hit. It was a way for him to jam out with a lot of his like fellow artists and friends and basically just do it all at his house in the woods.
I love that show.
It's cool.
I can't remember what network it was on, but it was, on there for a while. And it was just fantastic to see him jam with all these people. I really liked it when he sang Heard It Through the Grapevine with Rob Thomas.
That's so funny. I was going to go and watch a lot of them to prep because I remember you watching those growing up. And I didn't have time to watch too many, but the one I watched was the Rob Thomas one.
Yeah.
That was really good. And I just remember, I know he's done so many. He still does it, right?
Well, I don't know what he sold his house and then he has a restaurant and he tried doing it there. And then I don't know if it got canceled by the network or whatever, and now he's on YouTube, I know, and it just resumed recently, and I was going to go check out some new episodes that have come on, but I think it's a YouTube based show now, which is probably smart.
Very smart. I think he did it with like Post Malone or something. I'm not sure.
But
that was just kind of a cool segue for him. I think he tried to do like a home renovation show that I don't think that lasted too long. And so they were just doing at this point, like, I think they were releasing albums, but they're also just doing a lot of live appearances. Like they did stuff at Dancing with the Stars, National Anthem at sports games. They did The Voice, American Idol, like a lot of appearances. And I know that they were also touring a lot just throughout the years. I didn't really make note of like the tours they went on, but doing a lot of that too. And it actually took them up until 2019 to do their first Latin American tour, which I thought was interesting. I don't know exactly where they were going beforehand, but to get for like 50 years and finally like go to a new place just was interesting to me.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of what they were doing at that time. They created a festival called Hoagie Nation to celebrate Philly. And got their Hollywood Walk of Fame star in 2016. And so that brings us kind of to now. Things started going downhill a little bit just with like their relationship. You could just tell from interviews. And I know Hall, people would ask and be like, oh, you're like in a partnership, like music partnership with Oates. And he was like, no, like we're buddies, but like, we're not tied together, or something like it. I was watching some interviews and things were a little suspicious. And then somebody asked about a new album during the pandemic. And he basically was like, things have changed, but time will tell. And so very vague. And then 2023, here we are. And Hall filed a lawsuit against Oates. And from what I understand is that basically like they have their music library and then Oates is wanting to sell like a portion of it, but like it's both of theirs and he doesn't want somebody else owning that music. Is that right?
I think that's, you're right in the ballpark of that from what I understand. It was kind of complicated, but it had to do with music rights and whenever you have a partnership and maybe they didn't have a good understanding or something along the way. Maybe things were just going well, and then, you know, you get later on in their careers, you know, and you have this legacy, and then, you know, things come up and they want to sell off, or, you know, the business side of it. And I know the same type of thing happened with Journey, you know, and Neil Sean was suing everybody. I know it didn't go well inside the camp real well. It got pretty ugly with everybody. It seemed like there was lawsuits going back and forth there. But yeah. So it's kind of sad that, you know, you hear some of these artists that have been together 50 years, and then you get to this point, which you should just be kind of embracing you're still around doing it. And then there's these lawsuits going on.
Yeah, lawsuits. And it was kind of sad the way that they were like talking about each other. Yeah. A little bit. Just like seemed they weren't bad mouthing by any means, but it definitely was, there was a distance. And so, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that they made it up to that point, and who knows what the future looks like for them. But
yeah.
Oates is being sued and does have a, and Hall has a restraining order against him or something. So he can't talk to him about it. And it's just a whole thing. And I think there's like limited information, but it's coming out more and more. So either we'll find out more, or that'll just be something to get solved.
Yeah. Well, we'll just embrace the good music they put out. So
yeah.
Yeah. I've enjoyed their live performances, because they've, some of the 80s music's kind of dated. I mean, it's good. It's just, and now you can tell it's kind of dated, especially that synthesizer era and stuff. And they've really, you know, their live versions are a little different. They're kind of a little bit more, I don't know. They've changed them up kind of to more a contemporary feel to them, the 2000s. And they're really good live. I'd love to see them. I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon.
Who knows if you'll ever get that chance.
I'll just watch the videos, I guess.
Bask in that.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad you enjoyed the.
It was really great. And cool. I also wanted to note as well that there's a movie on Netflix called, well, it came out in theaters too, but it's called Know Her Feelings. And it's with like Jennifer Lawrence, and I can't remember the guy's name, but basically the guy has this like part in the movie where he plays the piano at a restaurant, and he does like a piano version of Man Eater.
Oh.
And I need to send it to you after this, because I think, I mean, it makes better sense, or it sounds nicer, you know, if you've seen the movie too, but like really great, really, really great. So I would encourage anybody to look that up too. But
that's cool.
But yeah, that's all I've got about Hall & Oates. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. I thought you would.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about Adele.
Yeah, I enjoyed the research on this and listened to a few tunes again. I was familiar with her, you know, but I didn't avidly listen to all the albums. But, you know, I'd heard, but I really haven't, you know, of course, taken a deeper dive. So she is actually, her name, I did not know this, is Adele Lori Blue Atkins. That's her name.
I never thought about her having a last name, to be honest.
You got two middle names. Well, yeah. Like everybody, but yeah, you never hear it, of course. And she was born in Tottenham, England, and so her dad split by the age of two, so she was brought up by her mother primarily her whole life. She's been singing, and I don't know, at age four is when she really started singing, so I don't know, maybe they got her into something a little bit more organized. And she eventually went to the Brit School for Performing Arts and Technology, and then graduated there in 2006. So got pretty serious about it. And then after graduation, about 4 months, she published two songs. It was something, platformsmagazine.org, you know, just some type of obviously online platform to get your music out there somehow. And it got noticed. And it's got some popularity. And that was, 2006. And then June 2007, it's probably about a year later, she made her TV debut on the BBC performing a song called Daydreamer. And then she released two songs later that year. Not sure where. I don't know if that was online or what, but Hometown Glory and then Chasing Pavements, which you may have heard that song. And that was actually October was Hometown Glory, and then January a few months later was Chasing Pavements in 2008.
I forgot about that song.
So, as you know, she was getting, that might have been on YouTube or something, but anyway, by June of 2008 she actually put an album out, so she was getting a lot of recognition, and that's where she released the 19 album, and all of her albums have been named after her age, so that's been her thing, at least the age at which she would recorded it, and not necessarily when she released it, but
got it. Okay. Yeah.
And then that put her on tour in 2008 and 2009. It was 2008. Later on, she actually canceled some U.S. tour dates to be with her former boyfriend. She got homesick or missed him, and she was drinking a lot. And she ended up actually, and she didn't like flying either. And so her U.S. tour dates at some point got canceled that year. And she went back home, and it's something that she regrets. Obviously, that wasn't the best career move at the time, even though she was starting to get some recognition. And so eventually, that probably didn't help breaking through in the U.S. There was some struggle there. And then her Saturday Night Live appearance and performance in 2008 changed that, and it was a real big hit in 2008. And that reminds me, and I went and looked today, and I think this is the same one where that was the Thanksgiving dinner skit. Do you remember that?
Oh, the one you sent me the other day? Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the ketchup bottle one.
No, that was Will Ferrell.
What you're talking about.
This is the one, Hello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went and watched that again today. That was pretty funny. So that got her some recognition. I was thinking, that really been that long ago? But
how long ago was it?
Well, that was 2008. That's what it said. What? So yeah, so
I feel old.
Yeah, so anyhow, yeah, that's kind of wild. So by then she was the best new artist at the Grammys in 2009, and had released 20, actually that doesn't sound right, in 2008 she must have been on there, that must have been another time she hosted when she did Hello, because that was a later album.
Yeah. So,
yeah, anyway, 2008 she was on, and I didn't watch that particular episode. But so anyway, by 2011, she released 21. And that album was inspired by the breakup of the boyfriend, at least a former one. I don't know if it's the same one. And she classified it as contemporary country and roots music. I don't know. I didn't really hear the country in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But inspired by her bus driver playing contemporary music from Nashville while on tour in the southern U.S. And so she had a lot of onstage anxiety. And so she started dealing with that kind of like Beyonce did that Sasha Fierce stuff, you know, where she had an alter ego.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really understand it, I'll be honest. And so she came up with Sasha Carter as her alter ego, and it was a mixture of Sasha Fierce and June Carter. And, you know, you'd have to ask her exactly how that helped, but
having an alter ego,
I've never had one, so I don't know, understand that. But anyway, it helped her, and that's all that counts, I guess. So at any rate, she did phenomenal with this album. There was Someone Like You, Rolling in the Deep, Set Fire to the Rain, you know, all those classics, and those were really big. And smash hit, won all sorts of awards. She actually had to have vocal surgery in late 2000 at that point too, so she had to take some time out. Then around about a year later, she was contracted to record Skyfall for the James Bond movie. Yeah, that was out, the 23rd film of James Bond. And I really like that song. That's pretty cool. She just nailed the Bond feel. You know, there's a certain, have you ever watched James Bond movies?
I haven't.
There's just a vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to describe it, but you just know it's James Bond, and music just nailed it, and it was probably based on some previous James Bond themed songs that they've come out before. But anyway, that was a great song. I really like it. It's just real moody. Yeah, so by November 2015, she released 25. And this is where she was on Saturday Night Live too. So I'm guessing she's been on twice. She said it would be the last album released with titled after her age. Obviously it wasn't, because there's another one called 30 after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened there, but changed her mind, I guess. But that's where the song Hello, Send My Love, and Water Under the Bridge, all of those came from. And it was, again, huge world tours, numerous awards, and a top-selling LP once again. So she's just rocking the charts like no other. And then, you know, she did all those tours and all the things, and then took some time. And it wasn't till May 5th of 2019 that actually, on her birthday, she posted, 30 will be a drum and bass record to spite you. So
interesting. I don't remember that.
Yeah. So at least, you know, well, so much for putting a kibosh on the age number albums, and she named it 30.
Yeah.
And so you had the single Easy on Me that came out. That album seemed kind of, I don't think it sold as well. It was okay, but it didn't quite have the smash appeal previously. And in listening to it, it doesn't have any real standout upper beat tracks. They're kind of all on the same level. And I know it, I think it was kind of with being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of dealing with some of those themes. And even on one song, I think her son's kind of talking in the background of one of it.
Mm.
So anyway, that one didn't do quite as well, but she's still enormously popular, obviously. And then in 2022, January through April, she did a Las Vegas residency, which is getting, you know, pretty popular with a lot of artists. She does not have any other albums out at this point. So 30 was the most recent. And then I don't think there's anything that's been published to say she's got another album coming out right now. So who knows what she's up to. She's got a lot of inspirations. I got a list here that, you know, you can kind of hear some of it in there. Spice Girls, Sinead O'Connor, Whitney Houston. I can certainly hear that. Mm-hmm. Jeff Buckley, Mary J. Blige, The Cranberries, Bob Marley, which was interesting. Aretha Franklin, Annie Lennox, Alicia Keys, The Cure, Dusty Springfield, Celine Dion, and it just goes on and on and on. A lot of inspiration. She's kind of in that, to me, in that Whitney Houston, Celine Dion kind of realm. Maybe Alicia Keys in there too. If I had to group any, maybe a few of those. In October 2023, recently, she revealed she suffered from borderline alcoholism and has been sober for 3 months. So probably part of it was, you know, not seeing new albums coming out.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I have some fun facts. Are you up for that?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, she discovered the music of Etta James was also a inspiration, and Ella Fitzgerald at a record store at age 14. And that really got her into, you know, a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. I remember Ella Fitzgerald. She was a great singer. There was when I'd watch football games, you know, NFL football games as a kid, they had Ella Fitzgerald in this sound trying to break a glass with her voice. And then it was all, I don't even remember what it was advertising now. Might've been a company that made fine china and, you know, dinner.
Oh, yeah, that would make something. Sense.
Anyway, she would use her voice to shatter glass in a commercial. Goodness. That's kind of my Ella Fitzgerald memory.
Yeah.
I remember her singing on TV and stuff. Also, she attended a Pink concert, which was a big inspiration for her too, back in as a teenager. She's really into reality TV, loves those. She works with many charities. So behind the scenes, she's very, you know, very charitable with what she does. And she designs her own album covers and music videos. So she's really into that artistic part. This is interesting. She has a phobia of sea creatures, like anything, like, and she won't eat fish and chips. So,
really?
So I wonder if rolling in the deep has something to do with, you know, scary sea creatures. Some other meaning there. But yeah, so I don't know which sea creatures really give her the creeps. I don't know, octopus or whales, probably sharks. But yeah. I always get a bad rep. But anyway, yeah. So today I kind of celebrated that with the SNL Thanksgiving miracle skit. Just that, to be honest, that reminds me of Adele just as much as anything. I'm seeing that. Yeah.
Well, it was so, especially like the Hello song, like that just hit. It was everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that was a I remember kind of that whole time era with that song. My favorites, I would say, are Rolling in the Deep, Rumor Has It, Hello. There's one, a deep cut on the 30 album I like called Can I Get It. That was kind of interesting.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Oh, you know it? Okay.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites from the album too, actually.
Yeah, I noticed it didn't have as many listens as the others, but I thought that was the best song.
Uh-huh.
So, Set Fire to the Rain, you know, pretty much the standards. And then, like I said, Skyfall, I think it's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
So those would be the ones I would, you know, put on my list, my playlist. But yeah, no, it was good. Just to learn a little bit more about her and listen to a lot of the other music that I hadn't, and just kind of find out what she's up to. And that was pretty cool. I appreciate.
Did you watch any of her like live performances?
I've seen some. I didn't this time though. Is there anything notable about that?
I was just watching some the other day, and I feel like if you just look up Adele live performance, like it just amazes you of how much she can do. Because obviously hearing music on your phone or wherever you're streaming it, like you're like, wow, she's an amazing singer. But to hear it live, you're like, you are magic. Like with her voice, it's insane.
Yeah.
And you know, like I would die to go to her Las Vegas residency because it's still going. Like she's been doing that for so long.
And well, didn't she cancel it because what was it? Not everybody was on their game. What was it?
Well, I know, yeah, she canceled it during COVID, and it was like not everybody, I think people were continuing to get sick.
Yeah.
But also she said that like a lot of the special effects and like it wasn't the way that she wanted it. And so she canceled it. And I think it was pretty last minute. So I think a lot of people were upset by it. But now she's been doing it for like a year. And she does it every weekend. And I don't know. I think she takes little breaks here and there. But someone was like, she's got it made. Like to just go home during the week. And then on the weekend, go to Vegas, perform, and then go home and wherever she lives. And so I don't know. I've just seen videos online about her performance there, and I would love to see some sort of, if they put out maybe like a live film or some sort of footage, because I haven't seen any footage from doing it from Caesar's Palace.
It'd be cool if she did it from, have you seen the Sphere?
Yes.
Like U2 did concerts. So they opened it up. Have you seen some of the U2 clips?
Yes. It looks amazing.
Oh, it is. I heard, who was it? Was it Mandy Moore or somebody who went and saw U2? Say it was the best performance she's ever seen in the Sphere, you know.
My coworker said he's going to go see Fish.
Oh, wow. Sphere.
I don't know much about Fish, but he's a diehard fan, I guess.
They look kind of Grateful Dead-ish.
Okay, that's how he explained it. And he was like, I'm really giving him a shout out here. But he's like, I've been to like 75 shows and I've never been to the same one twice. And I was like, he's going to go like four nights at the Sphere to see Fish.
Oh, wow.
So anyways, it sounds like it'll be a cool concert, but then at the Sphere, I was like, I don't know much about Fish, but it sounds like that would be really cool.
They're a very innovative band. I haven't listened to them too much, but they're pretty, yeah, I've heard some stories. I don't have time to talk about it now, but yeah, they're interesting. They're very innovative. But
well, cool. I'm glad you liked Adele. I mean, I know you knew of her before, but I'm glad you got to like dive deep a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. Well, what are you serving up next time here?
So I wasn't 100% sure. I always forget that piece of it, but I realized I don't think think it's, I could be wrong, but I feel like it's been a little bit since I've given you some sort of country artist. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll like this one, I would assume. And actually, Aunt Jenny, your sister, had recommended this one to me like a year ago.
Really?
So at least. So I'm going to give you Chris Stapleton.
Oh, okay. Heard of him.
I like him a lot because I do feel like his sound is, it's country, and I think he has very like country hits, but he has such a like rock and roll flair to it, and his voice is just also incredible. Like, I think, I don't know if you'll like everything, and that's fine, but I think you will find some cool stuff, and I think he's done a lot of collaborations too on like live stuff, so I would look maybe at like some live videos as well.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, definitely heard of him. I, you know, be honest, I can't tell you a song right now. So that,
yeah,
I will next time though.
Cool. Yeah, for me.
You know, yeah, I always give this a lot of thought. And I, you know, I have about five of them stored in my head of possibilities, but this one came up about a month ago, and it's Elton John.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
I had. One day, just, I don't know, I was driving home from work and I just had Siri dial up some Elton John and, you know, so, and especially some of the, you know, the real early stuff, which I like. And
yeah,
I didn't realize just how good it was. Yeah. I never bought an Elton John album, but it was pretty good stuff. And it was just kind of fun to crank that. And so I thought, gosh, Kenzie might like it. So, yeah.
I know some songs now I can't think of the song, but I remember there was, oh, I think it was Crocodile Rock, mm-hmm. was on my like musical keyboard as a kid when we had that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I remember I could never play it, but I would just listen to it via keyboard. And so that was kind of the only one I really ever knew, but my boyfriend said he grew up listening to a lot of Elton John.
Oh, there you go.
So I have heard a little bit here and there from him, but like, yeah, we never really listened to it. So I'm excited to like finally dive into it all.
Yeah. And pay attention. He has for years, he had a musical collaborator, Bernie Taupin, that wrote a lot of the songs.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's a real important piece. You might find out a little good nuggets about that. There was a video I saw about the formation of one song that was just phenomenal. We'll talk about it next time, but, and maybe you'll find out about it, but anyway, it's pretty fascinating. And anyway, he's just a pretty amazing guy, so I think you really enjoy diving into some of those songs.
Nice. Oh yeah. I'm excited, so I think that'll be a good one.
Well, cool. All right, well, hope everybody, you're listening to this before the holidays, has a great holiday season. This is our gift to you, is another podcast. So if not, it will welcome you into the new year if you're listening after the holidays. So
happy 2024.
Yeah, we'll serve up another episode sooner than later. So, well, it's been good, and we'll see you all later.
Thanks, bye.